I have the privilege of working for the founder and chairman emeritus of a billion-dollar nutritional supplement company and his wife. I've been working with them for almost 11 years. In that time, I've learned to do my job proficiently and represent them well. But it was not the easiest of jobs to learn. In the beginning, I was a fish out of water, especially when we would travel to our home office in Salt Lake City. And as my employer was the head of the company, his requests and instructions carried a lot of weight. But he was also very busy in meetings and such, and so he would relay those requests and instructions to me to be carried out. Unfortunately, I didn't carry much weight at all, especially in the beginning. No one knew me from Adam or Eve. And my requests weren't received with the same priorities as my boss's. It was a very stressful time for me. How could I get what he wanted without him being there with me making the requests? Fortunately, I wasn't alone. His wife was also the director of his office. And she, over time, had developed and the connections and relationships that were needed and had the weight, you know, the authority of his requests conferred onto her. If I couldn't get what he wanted, I would ask her, and lo and behold, people stepped lively. Nowadays, fortunately, I've developed the relationships and connections needed, and my requests do carry the weight and authority of his in the company. Thank you, Lord. So I'm seeing similarities of my work story that is shared in our gospel today. I know it may seem a little bit of a stretch, but bear with me. There's an imperative that jumps out from our gospel reading. Jesus arrives, assures his disciples of who he is, and then he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." For me, this immediately then begged the question, how is Jesus sent? While focusing on our gospel lesson this morning, we can find the following P points. I love when P's are there. First, he was sent with peace. After his shocking arrival into a locked room, without coming through the door, mind you, his first words are of peace. This was obviously a priority for him in their relationship because he repeated the phrase, "Peace be with you." The original Greek word for peace that's used here, eirene, I put the little R on there, I don't know if that's the way, I like it, can mean a few things. Overall, the word conveys wholeness when all essential parts are joined together. In the Bible, it's been used to mean a state of national tranquility, exemption from rage, the havoc of war. Another meaning is security, safety, prosperity. It also references the peace that we have, knowing our soul is assured of its salvation through Christ. But what seems to be the best definition for this passage is peace between individuals, harmony, concord. To make the big ask, to instill in his disciples the Great Commission, Jesus wanted to be connected with them at the deepest level. There needed to be peace between them, a true bond of trust. Second, he was sent with proof. Jesus was obviously changed. He could appear to them in a locked room, and his disciples didn't immediately recognize him. So physically, he must have been different. Yet, he still had the scars that bore witness to who he was and what he had gone through. And if you think about the timing of his appearance, those scars have an even deeper miraculous meaning. Think back on to any serious surgery that you may have had or someone you know may have had. How did you or the person you know feel? How did your wound look after 3 days? Now imagine that's Jesus. Only he didn't have a team of surgeons and caregivers making sure that everything was sutured together just so, and that he received occupational therapy to get him back on his feet again. And yet, just 3 days after his horrific, bloody, wounding death, he's there with them whole, with wounds completely healed, as in no open sores. He had scars, obviously. In 3 days, I'd say that's proof positive. And their relationship, you know, that proof was reassuring. Their relationship was reestablished. Third, he was sent with power. The one whom he represented didn't send him alone, clueless, kind of like how I felt when I first started my job. The Holy Spirit was with him. Jesus was sent in authority. He was commissioned, and he likewise commissioned his disciples. But he didn't leave them alone, scared, powerless. He didn't say, go and do this in your own power. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a bit of a responsibility on their part, right? They needed to be receptive. But since he had solidified their trust and bond with them, they had a bridge to receive the Holy Spirit. And lastly, and this is pretty important, and I'll get this point home a little bit more later. He was persistent. He didn't let locked doors or fear or absenteeism or doubt stop him. It didn't stop him from reaching all those he was sent to reach. And he didn't just stop by the one time. He returned in the same miraculous fashion and repeated the whole process and went deeper. He told Thomas to touch him, to truly see him for who he was, and to believe in him. He did not give up. So, now that we've established how Jesus was sent, we need to ask, how does Jesus send his disciples? Send us. Because he said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Following the same pattern I shared with Jesus, he sends us with peace. As peace was a priority for Jesus, it should also be a priority for us. One of the key elements for success in my job was establishing relationships. Yes, I had the weight and power of a power and authority of my boss's requests behind me. But to truly do my job well, I needed to build a bridge between me and those I was working with. They needed to know me. That made it much easier to carry out his requests. Likewise, as we step into our calling of sharing the good news of Jesus, we need to build that relationship bridge. Transparency, genuineness, allowing others to know the real us helps us establish trust and genuine peace, eirene, with others. And part of that process is why Jesus sends us with proof. This is one of the sticking points that I struggled with long before I became a believer. It was a gradual process even after I supposedly believed. I was raised by a devout atheist and a muted agnostic. I had no church background and very little witness, if any, to who Jesus was. I know through conversations with many of you, the concept of not believing in Jesus is truly foreign. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that you don't know or understand this situation. However, that can be a drawback when you're out in the world and being sent by Jesus. It would be like if I went to someone in my corporation with a request from my very, very powerful and top of the food chain boss, and they had just started working there, and they had no clue who he was. At the very least, they might respond with a lack of immediacy. But if they truly didn't care or want to please me or him, they might refuse my request outright. Now, if that person had actually heard of my boss and had been told that he was a charlatan, had delusions of grandeur, or was followed by a group of mindless lemmings, how do you think they would respond to my request? How do you think I responded to the requests of well-meaning, God-fearing disciples of Christ? I share this with you so that you can understand the tremendous uphill battle reaching into a true disbeliever's heart might be. But if we look at how Jesus responded to Thomas's disbelief, and even how he immediately helped alleviate his disciples' fears, we can see how we might do the same for those who are currently in darkness, yet so needing Jesus' light. As Jesus did, we show them our scars. They need to know us first, to trust us first. Then they can know Jesus. So what are our scars? I think we can all ask ourselves some of these questions. What has happened in our life to cause us to believe in Jesus? In what way has Jesus showed us his hands and side? Where has he healed us? Are there scars that we can show others and witness to how those wounds have been transformed through the resurrected Jesus? We are the living members of his body, yes?
Yep.
Yeah. I have plenty of scars. Some of them I'm even comfortable sharing. The biggest wound that the Lord has healed in me is that 30 years ago, I not only didn't know or believe in Jesus, I was his enemy. I was angry and combative, dismissive, disdainful. I had been indoctrinated in an atheistic worldview. But did Jesus leave me there? No. He sent many messengers at different times in my life. They didn't immediately pounce on me and say, "Do you know Jesus?" Well, most didn't. Some did. Instead, they established a relationship with me and gradually showed me their Jesus proof, the wounds that he had healed, the beautiful scars that they now carried with pride. In response to this perhaps daunting thought of bearing our scars to a skeptical world, Jesus also sends us with power. The Holy Spirit is with us. He empowers us to do his work. He empowers us to believe. And that is the key to everything. Belief in Jesus is the power that will overcome doubt and darkness. As the final words of our reading says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Believe and have life. You already do. But you must share this life. Your belief is not yours to keep to yourself. It is life and light to a darkened world. I was in a world of blindness and darkness for so many years. Where would I be if someone's hadn't reached out and shared with me their faith and belief? I wouldn't be up here standing and talking to you, right? My passion has an origin. I know what it means to be in darkness, in doubt, in disbelief. I'm Thomas's twin. Well, maybe Mr. Hyde to his Dr. Jekyll. I share this with you so that you can be encouraged and challenged. It's not impossible. It's I am possible. Lean into the power and desire of the Lord to reach the hurting and the lost. They often don't even have a clue he's what they need. And they may not look like you would expect them to look. And that leads me to the last P. Jesus sends us with, and I said before, persistence. We may not have the ability to appear in a locked room without a key, but we must channel Jesus' determination to continue to return to those who need his good news. Like my work pursuits, I didn't let lukewarm responses to my employer's requests from me, the newbie, stop me. I had an urgency. My boss expected that I would produce whatever he had requested. Thankfully, I had a helper, his wife and right hand, to instill my requests with power and authority. And likewise, we have the Holy Spirit, our holy helper, to instill our efforts with power and authority. He just needs us to be willing, able, enthusiastic, determined, and what's the word?
Persistent,
yes. And don't worry if your efforts aren't initially received. They probably won't be, especially by people, as I was raised. But the Lord is sending far more than one personal assistant, or one wife, or one husband, or one teacher to do his bidding. If he has decided whomever you're sharing with is his, he will not stop until they are brought into the fold. I am a perfect example. It took a village to introduce me to the real Christ. But it took the real Christ to bring me all the way into a believing relationship with him. You're not alone, and you're not expected to step out of your comfort zone without a partner. And that's with a capital P, partner. Jesus meets us where we are and gives us what we need to believe, to have life, and to share him with others. Share your peace. Nurture your relationships. Share your proof. Don't be afraid to be real. Lean into the power of your steadfast belief and relationship with Jesus. And step out each day with intention, determination, and persistence. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for appearing in our locked and sealed hearts. Thank you for sharing your peace and showing us the scars that you bear for our sake. Thank you for not leaving us to our own devices in a world that feels forever against your truth and light. Thank you for empowering us to step out in faith and to do so again and again and again. Thank you for making a way for us, for being the way for us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.